Welcome, everybody. We got an important show for you today, a very sobering show. We're going through our series of Revelation journeys through the book of Revelation. And today we've come to chapter 8 and 9. And let me tell you, these are some of the most sobering things you'll ever read anywhere in the Bible. Revelation 9, I call Hell on Earth. We're going to hit some very serious things today. And I want you to get it. And maybe call some of your friends, get them to watch the program. Text your friends, tell them, hey, turn the TV on, we're on. Send the YouTube video to some of your friends. This is going to be very important stuff. You don't want to be left behind as a lost person and face what we're going to talk about today. You don't want your loved ones left behind. Get ready, get your Bible ready, get a pen, get a notebook, and stand by. Hey, welcome, everybody. Thanks for tuning in today and watching our program. Very, very sobering show today. So we're going to be talking about Revelation chapter 8 and 9. This is some of the most shocking events in the entire Bible. I call chapter 9 hell on earth. It's that bad. Hell is literally unleashed upon the earth in this chapter. And but let's we got Doc with us today, and we've got a few things to for you folks to get some helps. We've got my study guide, the Book of Revelation. We have Doc's got a CD, I believe it is, mm-hmm. a CD on the Book of Revelation. And we also have a new item for you today, Phil Hauser's 3 CD set. My good friend, Brother Phil Hauser, he did these. He has listened and read a lot of my material, and you can tell. But he also has a mind of his own. He comes up with some interesting stuff. His CD set is worth you listening to. You will enjoy it. You will glean from it. All 3 of these materials are on the website. My bookstore, Doc's bookstore, right there at Prophecy in the Spotlight. These will help you on your journey studying out the Book of Revelation. I promise you, these will help you. So go and get those if you can. This is, I think, our 4th series.
I think it is.
4th in the series. Yeah. We started in Revelation
1. We thought we might do it in 4 series, but we're not even halfway through.
No. When I do this at a church, I usually get about to chapter 9. That's usually where I get.
That's because you usually get hung up on something. And so
I get hung up. My introductions are too long, yeah. I think. But anyway, we left off last week with Revelation. We just got to Revelation 8. And now next week, I think we're going to do the parentheticals. We're going to help everybody understand where those are.
I was going to do it this week, and anyway, I didn't get that done.
Yeah, but that's okay. That'll be a show all of its own. We'll show you all the different chapters and passages. We'll explain again what a parenthetical is. We'll explain where they are and what they mean, and we'll help you with that. They're all explained in here, by the way, in this study guide. I give a timeline through Revelation where I skip all the parentheticals.
Follow the narrative all the way through.
And I show how it goes, chapter by chapter, passage by passage. And in other words, you could skip all the stuff that's parenthetical and have the timeline. Mm-hmm. But you'd need the parenthetical. The parenthetical explains some important things. I mean, the whole chapter 12 is all parenthetical. And
several
that's an important
chapters.
Chapter. Yeah.
Several whole chapters.
Yep, chapter 7. And so we'll get to that next week. And so let's jump into this. We left off. We just got to chapter 8. So let me read a verse or two of chapter 8. And when he had opened the 7th seal, now here's the final. They get to the 7th seal of the book, and you would think, well, this is it. No, the 7th seal is going to reveal 7 trumpets. When you get to the 7th trumpet, that last trumpet's not the end. The last trumpet leads to the 7 vials.
Yeah. And a lot of people. I have people say, well, they're running together. No, the first trumpet can't happen until the seventh seal is open.
That's right.
So they're running end to end to end here.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. And and by the way, the seventh seal is the entire remainder.
That's it. We've pointed that out already, that just because the seal judgments stop in their opening doesn't mean their effect is not still going on.
So when it opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven. Now, one preacher said that's proof there's no women up there.
But we know
better than that. But anyway, when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Now, this is interesting because you and I both know, and I've written a chapter about time. There is no time in heaven.
Not as we think of it, yes.
But
progression of events.
But because we understand and we live by time and we don't understand no time, God is using time to express something here.
There's a period of silence.
Yeah.
And the question ought to be, why is there silent?
Well, this is just me, but this is what my theme for chapter 8 is this. A pause in heaven. Mm-hmm. Look what just happened. Well, 1/4 of the world just died in the first six seals.
Well, we're now to the middle of the tribulation.
We're just about there.
So we're at three and a half years here.
Yeah.
So over that whole period of time, a third of population is gone.
Yeah. And I illustrated like a football game. You've watched two quarters. I mean, you're on the edge of your seat. You're watching your team, and the clock runs out. It's now halftime.
Mm-hmm.
You don't start right away. You go back to the locker room, and you heal your wounds, and you sob about what the bad plays you made, and the coach gets up there and yells at you and says, "Oh, this is what we got to do. We got to get out there." This is reorganizing time.
And it's preparation for what's getting ready to come.
So I call this a pause in heaven. In parentheses, I put middle of the tribulation, halftime.
Yeah.
And let me read a little more here. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. So the pause has come. There's silence in heaven, but that doesn't mean nothing's happening.
No. They're getting ready to unveil what's really getting ready to happen.
The seven angels
appear. If you thought it's been bad yet, wait till this starts happening.
So while there's a pause in heaven, all the stuff that just happened is still going on. There's still the results of the earthquakes, the results of the wars, the results of the famine, pestilence.
Yes.
That's all still happening. But up in heaven, there's a pause. It's halftime. And the seven angels are given a trumpet, the seven trumpets here. And you see that in verse 2. And to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar. And boy, there's a beautiful lesson here I've preached on before. Prayers in a vial or in a bottle. Mm-hmm. God keeps our prayers. They're important to God.
That's what it seems like, yes.
Yeah, they're important to God. And he also has bottles filled with the tears of God's people.
Well, the incense before the altar takes you in picture all the way back to the tabernacle and then later the temple. And that's what the altar of incense was about. It was the prayers of the people being accepted.
Yep. And so verse 7, the first angel sounded and there followed fire. So you got four of these trumpets are going to sound right here at the end of verse chapter 8. And a third part, look at verse 12 here. And this is important to point out. This is from the third angel sounded. Mm-hmm. And there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And then verse 12, a fourth angel sounded, and a third part of the sun was smitten, a third part of the moon, a third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it. and the night likewise. I believe God slows the earth or speeds up the earth spin.
It's very
one third,
very probable,
causing one third less sun every day, one third less stars, one third less moon. But you don't lose any days.
Well, you're not going to lose any days because God said it is an exact day.
Yeah, 1260.
But that doesn't mean God cannot, because a day in Hebrew word yom, it means two distinct halves, and so those could be changed in the length of the time.
In Genesis 1, the evening and the morning was a day.
Yes,
and so if the earth spins faster, and you still got an evening and a morning, but they happen faster.
And we know this is already probable because the earth today is not an exact 24-hour day.
Yeah.
And why is that? Because of the earth has increased in Noah's flood. And so if God has changed the length of the time, it won't be difficult for him to change the length of the time.
Of course, is there anything too hard for the Lord?
No.
There's
no.
nothing difficult for God. Yeah. So I think verse 12 is one of those things. I think in the second half of the tribulation, I think the earth is going to go faster than it does now.
Well, it may be in association with the star that falls. Now, some think that star is in relationship to chapter 12 and the dragon kicked out of heaven. I don't think they're the same. What we've had up to this point is man has been let be his own God during the seal judgments.
And we don't want to confuse chapter 8, verse 11, this star that is called wormwood.
Mm-hmm.
There's a different one we're going to read in chapter 9.
Right.
That's something different.
The wormwood here is actually another rendition of it would be Chernobyl, which is what happened over in Ukraine years ago when the atomic power plant there melted down.
Yeah.
And it destroyed all of this. And it appears that this is going to turn a third of the waters bitter.
Yeah.
And it talks about blackened.
Yeah.
And so this may be something to do with atomic. I don't know.
And this is the one that Tom Horn, before he died, he said he had this vision or something.
Yeah.
And this is what he's talking about. He believes that this asteroid headed the Earth is this.
It could well be. It appears that's a great possibility. What happens from it is it is definitely going to cause a great harm to the fishes of the sea and the quality of the water. And it could be part of the instrument that's going to bring about, as we talked about, a change in the rotation speed.
So let's move on to chapter 9, because this is where we want to land here. And chapter 9 starts with the fifth angel.
Yeah.
So the seven angels are mentioned in chapter 8.
Yeah.
You look at the four of them, and then you get to the fifth angel.
And the 5, 6, and 7 are called woes.
I think
that's because they mean
let's
it'll really
that,
be great.
Because that's in chapter 8, the last verse of chapter 8, verse 13. We've just gone through the four angels have sounded, the four trumpets.
Four trumpets.
And then he says, "And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound."
Yeah.
That's the fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpet judgments.
That's right.
So you go the very next verse, chapter 9, verse 1, and the fifth angel sounded. Here it comes. Yeah. This is the first woe. There's three woes. The woes are trumpet 5, trumpet 6, trumpet
That's
7.
Right.
And they get worse as they go. But let's
Everything from this point is going to get worse as we go.
And look what it says. Now, we were talking about wormwood falling from the sky.
Yeah.
This is not the same thing, but look what it says.
Right.
The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit.
Yep.
And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit.
Wow.
There came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and upon them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Notice as. Yeah. These are not scorpions. They're as a scorpion. He's using figurativism here to express something very violent here. And it was commanded them, these locusts, that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. These are the saved people.
Mm-hmm.
And to them was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. As it says. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them.
Well,
how'd you like to live through that?
Yeah.
Nobody dies for 5 months. I tell people will jump off buildings trying to commit suicide.
Yeah.
They'll land on the pavement, you know, twitching, still alive. Death is not in our hands. Death is in God's hand.
And can you imagine, Dan, because the previous trumpets added to the famine, inflation, pestilence that's already over the earth.
Yeah.
Can you imagine adding to this now a water system that is polluted, the sea system polluted, the food chain is polluted, and now you're facing creatures.
And now there's devils, demons,
walking around and can hit you with something that is leave you with pain. And you can't even die from it.
Yeah, you wish to die, but you can't.
And about that time, I'm gonna find you somewhere at the banquet table in heaven and say, "Would you like to go back and get seconds? Because we're at the marriage supper of the Lamb."
I want ice cream with my cake.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah, and I think we'll be oblivious to this.
Oh, I'm confident we will.
We're in another dimension. We're at the marriage supper.
That's right.
And you know. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth.
The earth.
Woe. People joke about hell. They joke about these things.
Oh, my.
Well, all my friends are there. Good luck with that.
There are no friends.
Let me tell you something. You better get saved. You better be born again, or you're going to live through this right here.
Amen.
And by the way, you better get your loved ones. What about your loved ones? What about your wife? What about your daughters? What about your sons, your grandchildren? What about them?
Amen.
Are they going to live through this? Because you didn't tell them about Jesus. Yep. You didn't tell them that they're sinners in need of a Savior. I call chapter 9 hell on earth.
And the sad thing is, Dan, by the time you get here, you're moving toward getting ready toward the fourth year of the tribulation. There's three more to go.
Yep.
And people say, well, I'm going to make it all the way through. Well, only about a third of the people make it all the way through. Yeah. You may have already perished by this time.
Yeah, and there's very little chance that anyone probably here in America makes it through.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to be at the center of this. This America will be. Because I believe the system of Babylon is run from right here.
It is at the moment. The system is. Yeah.
Yeah. So this angel, and there's a lot of discussion on this in different circles. They say this is just symbolic. And Well, you know what? Some say this is actually a star. It says it's a star. Well, wait a minute. This star is has a little hand that holds a key.
Yeah.
That's
not a
star.
When you get over chapter 12, you're going to look at it again. Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah. When a star falling is symbolic of demonic angels falling from heaven is what that is.
And who is in the bottomless pit? I mean, the angels of the rebellion, I believe, before creation, they're in the bottomless pit, key locked up. And they're waiting their time to get out.
Yep. And so this, I believe this is Satan, to be quite honest. I believe Satan is given the key. I believe it's Satan that is talking about here. I believe he opens the pit and unleashes hell on earth with these devils. I can't prove that necessarily, but I think Satan's the head of this team. And I think he's given the key, and I think this is him.
Well, when you get to chapter,
and this may go with chapter 12,
and part of it goes with chapter 13, because we're talking about the beast, and this is the beast system, and that power comes from the devil himself, not just the Antichrist.
Yeah, well, there's all kinds of symbolism here. The shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. Their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. Mm-hmm. They had hair as the hair of women. The teeth of lions.
It sounds like science fiction, but I don't think there's any fiction about it. These could be literal, real creatures of some kind.
Yeah, I like that one line in the Pirates of the Caribbean movie. There's one line on the ship when she doesn't believe in ghost stories. He said, "You best start believing in it. You're in one." That's the greatest line.
You're in one.
You best start believing in this sci-fi, this stuff, because here it is.
Yeah.
And live on the scene. And it's
terrible.
It's not a time or a place that I want to be a part of.
You're sitting at home, and it's third part of the light and part of the day, and all the problems that's already out here. And now here are these creatures out there, and you say, man, we don't have any whatever it is in the cupboard. Well, you're not going to your neighbors because it's dark. And if somebody come knocking at your door, you say, well, I'm not going to open it. It might be one of those creatures. Yeah. Man, I'm telling you, I'm glad I'm going to be in heaven.
Let me see what I've got in here. I've got some lessons here. The star that fell in Revelation 9, I believe, is Satan, right at the middle of the tribulation. I believe he loses access to the third heaven right there. And I think you could go to Revelation 12. In fact, I've got that right here, Revelation 12, 10.
I'm convinced those go together in that time frame.
I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." Satan has access to the throne room.
You know, it's maybe a good place to stop and interject this. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, he fulfilled in a degree what was said in Genesis 3, 15, that he would crush the head of Satan.
Yeah.
Well, the only way that that's crushed in our life is because we've come under the redeeming blood of Christ. And so there are a lot of Christians that really do not believe that the devil is an accuser of the brethren, because they take it that on the Calvary's cross, Jesus crushed the head of the serpent. Well, he has, for those that have come under redemption.
Yeah.
But it's not until this point that he's kicked out of heaven and can no longer be the accuser of the brethren.
And I wrote here, this leads to the increased wrath of Satan upon those on the earth, and especially the Jews. I call it hell on earth. Satan is given the key to the bottomless pit and leads these devils on a rampage of the earth. I look at the tribulation in three phases, Doc. The first phase is really man fighting man, wars, famine, and death, and all that.
Yep.
Revelation 9 starts phase 2, which is Satan's wrath upon the earth.
Yep.
That's worse than the first part.
He's been allowed to be the prince and power, the ruler. He's had dominion since Adam forfeited, but only to a limit.
Yeah.
But at this point, it's like God says, okay, I'm going to take my hand off, and wow.
And then, believe it or not, it gets worse, because when the vials are poured out, that's the vials of the wrath of God.
That's when I believe God said, okay, mankind, step aside. Mr. Devil, step aside. I'm getting ready to clean this up, and I'm getting ready to replace it or prepare it for the millennial reign.
Yeah. The judgments get worse and worse as the tribulation unfolds. We see the results caused by man in the first seals. Now we see the wrath of Satan in the trumpet judgments. Mm-hmm. When we get to the seven vials, we see that the wrath of God is worse yet.
Oh, yes.
It is the restraining power of the Holy Spirit in the believers that now holds back the forces of evil, the forces of the devil. And I've got 2 Thessalonians here, chapter 2, verse 6 through 8.
Right.
Now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let.
Yep.
In other words, he that restrains will continue to restrain.
We're watching, we in our update that we just did, we talked about the Antichrist kingdom being here. Well, the Holy Spirit is still here as a restrainer, and we're already seeing that weakening against the forces of evil. Can you imagine when we're out of here?
Oh.
And by the middle of the tribulation, without any of that protection, wow.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, folks, before we close this out, let me just say we want to thank our viewers, our partners, those who financially keep us on the air. Mm. We are now like a couple of weeks out from the bill being due. Wow. We're still a little short. If you can help, we sure would appreciate it. Go to the website or call the 800 number or mail a check, whatever it is you normally do. We still need a couple of thousand to make our commitment by the end of June here. So if you love what you see here, consider partnering with us and for whatever amount you can afford, or whatever God lays on your heart. We need you to come through for us here in the next couple of weeks, okay?
It's amazing how we have come this far.
Yeah, four years.
We started with no money, but what was given to us, and we have no money. Except what's been given to us. We made it four years. I believe God must be in it.
Let me close this out in the last minute and a half here with some personal application right out of my study guide here. Realize no matter how bad things may get for you in this life, you don't have it so bad when compared to those who are not saved and the tribulation people. Number two, have you ever considered that some people you love dearly may go through this time that we just read about here? Think about that. Mm. A grandmother, a dad, one of your children, a close friend, your spouse.
Whew. Yeah.
Number three, is there some sin in your life that you have refused to repent of? As it talks about in Revelation 9, verse 20, 21. And I close with this. We have just finished a very sobering chapter in the Bible. Thank God for his saving grace. Thank God for redemption, as
yes.
God talks about. Aren't you glad you do not have to go through this terrible time? Take a moment and thank the Lord that you're saved. Spend some time praying for and witnessing to some of your lost loved ones. Doc, I don't know anything more sobering than this story in Revelation 9.
Well, it's only going to get worse from here, but It ought to help people understand, man, I need to win somebody to Christ. I need to see to it my family gets saved.
Yeah.
Yes.
Next week we'll hit Revelation 10. I call that Jesus and the Little Book.
Yep.
It's a kind of another switch.
It's almost like it's sandwiched in there, something altogether different than the rest.
But it's like, look what we just went through.
Yeah.
Hell on earth. And so there's some hope. Chapter 10 shows some hope. There are people going to get saved. Jesus is coming back to set up the kingdom. And through all the fire and the judgment and all that and the death, and there's still hope. There's Jesus.
Amen. Because all of this is for the preparing for a millennial reign to come.
Yes. All right. Well, we're out of time. And, boy, give this some thought, folks. Order the books if you can. And we'll see you next time. And until then, keep your eyes on them skies.